Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of Fort Laramie and Gunsmoke. And this is 2021. It's August 31st. This is the first one I'm recording of these episodes that I haven't had a recording from the previous year. So from here on out, I'll be recording new intros for these. And a lot of folks say they want to hear my new intros and things, so here you go. I do have a sore throat, so I'm going to sound a little weird today. It doesn't hurt much, it just sounds bad. Anyway, this two just really interesting episodes this week. Fort Laramie is probably one of my all-time highest rated episodes would be this one. It's about prejudice, and it just really does a nice job of not feeling too preachy and yet talking about a subject that we still are dealing with today. So just so interesting to hear what a zealot kind of sounds like. And John Daner just does such a fine performance. The writing and the acting on this episode are just phenomenal. Really, really well done. I think you'll enjoy it. Then after that, we have an interesting episode, John Meston written episode called Sweet and Sour of Gunsmoke. That's if you're listening in 2021, and this if I in the future I might have these episodes together, might not. But anyway, we have Gunsmoke that follows Fort Laramie today. And like I said, it's an episode called Sweet and Sour. I love the title of it. It's just an interesting, I'm not going to give anything away other than to say it's just an interesting take on a character and taking a female character and I don't know, just turning some things around, and it takes William Conrad's character, of course, Matt Dillon, a while to figure this one out. And I don't know if this was ever made into one of the television episodes or not, but I don't know. Meston, I have real respect for Meston. He is a fantastic writer. But as I'm thinking through, his writing of female parts are just, the females are often just horrendous, or else they die, you know, it's just interesting to get his take on women. And today's episode is interesting with that. It's different than his usual portrayal, and yet still, I don't know. I don't want to give anything more away, but like I say, both episodes certainly worth listening to. I was going to wait on this episode. It's why this is a week later coming out, is I was trying to get a female take on this. I was going to have my son's girlfriend talk on here, but I don't know if she's had a chance to listen to it yet, and I can't wait that much longer for it. So if I get her commentary at some point, I may put it in here, but for now it's just me. And I hope you really enjoy these episodes. The sound quality of all these episodes are so amazing. I just am so glad that we found these in such great quality and that we can share them with you guys. So without further ado, here is Raymond Burr in Fort Laramie along with John Daner as his guest star. And over on the Gunsmoke side, a really interesting episode written by John Meston. Enjoy.
At the gallop! Oh!
Laramie. Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Is it White Dog's camp, sir?
It's Shoshone. That'd make it White Dog's, unless there's more of a Shoshone migration than we know about.
You can tell from here it's Shoshone?
Look at their huts down there, Mr. Seibert. It's made of grass and brush woven together, not skins like the Sioux and Cheyenne.
Doesn't look like there are any lodge poles.
There aren't. They don't have any roofs, any lodge poles, just a half circle of woven grass. Harrison!
Yes, sir?
Bring on the white flag, Harrison. You and I are riding in.
Yes, sir.
You'll keep the patrol up here, Mr. Seibert. Keep your eye on Harrison's flag. As long as he flies it, there's no trouble.
Yes, sir. White Dog will understand that you've just come to powwow with him.
Going in this way, he'll understand. Ready, Harrison?
Yes, sir.
Let's go.
Good luck, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Seibert. Watch it down through here, Harrison.
I'm watching.
Major said a couple of hundred Shoshone. Looks smaller than that to me, Harrison.
I'll eat every one over 100 we find, Captain.
I don't have your appetite, but 100's nearer right. Ah, they're beginning to notice us.
I'll lose all feeling in my arm if I hold this flag any higher.
Sooner the feeling than the arm, Harrison.
Yes, sir. Funny they wouldn't have no lookouts posted.
Well, either they're not expecting any trouble or they don't care. You, lead me to White Dog?
White Dog in council.
In his hut?
Why White Army come?
We come in peace, to powwow with White Dog.
Your flags say that.
Will you lead me to your chief?
He talk with Ninambia. I not talk to White Dog when he talk with Ninambia.
Just show me where he is.
You know Shoshone legend?
Yes, I know.
There. In small canyon out by stream. Follow it. You find White Dog.
You going up into that canyon, Captain Quince?
Yeah. You stay here and keep that flag in plain sight. Feel it in your arm or not.
Yes, sir.
You shouldn't have any trouble, unless it bothers you to be outnumbered by squaws and kids.
Long's they're not mine, they don't fret me, Captain. Who's White Dog talking to?
Ninambia. Little people. The Shoshone believe they live in mountain canyons. Their medicine men counsel with them.
They can see them?
They believe they can.
You see any of them, you tell me, Captain?
I see any. Might be something I'd want to keep to myself. Stand fast, Harrison.
Yes, sir.
Counsel too, Captain?
I need your counsel, White Dog.
Sit, my son. You ride from Fort Laramie today?
Yesterday.
You and your people must be tired, as my people are tired.
Your journey has been longer than ours, White Dog, and harder.
A journey is hard when a heart is heavy, Captain. We go to our home. This lightens our load.
You are moving your people without permission, White Dog.
Shoshone cannot live in country meant for Ute, Hopi, Apache, Paiute. We are not root eaters.
We know that. I think my people made a mistake putting Shoshone so far to the south in desert country.
No.
But you have left the reservation, White Dog.
You come to take us back?
No. Now we have come in peace.
And you find us in peace, Captain.
You have told me your people are tired, White Dog. Tired people, hungry people, sometimes break the peace.
Then you come to make us less tired? To feed us?
We have come to find out your needs and to arrange for your safe passage to your home in the Wind River Mountains.
Good. And Inambia told me of your coming. It was too much to believe. There is no trick.
You have always believed me before, White Dog.
You, yes.
How long have you made your camp here?
Two suns have risen since my people put their hut by the stream.
Is it a good camp? You have water? Is the hunting good?
My braves find game. Not buffalo, on which my people grow strong. They find bear, antelope, deer. In our camp, Captain, are many squaw, many papoose.
And not many braves.
Our number was more when we left Apache Reservation. But our journey was hot, dry. Now our burial ground is the length of these great mountains.
You have traveled too fast, White Dog.
Two enemies have pursued us. A blazing sun. And the fear that when the White Army came, it would not come in peace.
When your people reach the valleys of the Wind River, when they are home, they will continue to live in peace?
You have my word, my son.
And I give you mine. We will grant your safe passage to your home.
You will travel with us.
We will camp with you tonight. Tomorrow we will journey together to Fort Lyon. There will be orders waiting for us there.
Turning in, Captain?
A beautiful night, Mr. Seibertz. You write about nights like this in your journal?
How can you put the Rocky Mountains into a journal, sir?
It's kind of hard even to set them good in your mind and believe them. I never see him. I don't feel small, trifling.
Well, the sky that clear and the stars so bright. I'm sure it must all have a meaning.
There's meaning in tonight, all right. Down there by the stream in White Dog's camp, the old man's telling his people that we've come to take them home. That the Ninambia told them of our coming. There's peace in their hearts tonight, Mr. Seibertz. That has meaning.
I think it does. I think the men feel it too, sir.
White men, red men, bedding down under the same stars, nobody reaching for a rifle, nobody stealing up with an arrow. Yeah, that's the way it ought to be. And every time it isn't, I get blazing mad inside.
Are you a religious man, Captain?
There are things I believe, Mr. Seibertz. This, tonight. Challenge of the mountains, peace of the stars, men living under them without fear. Guess that's pretty close to what I believe in.
It's a lot to believe, sir.
I believe something else, Mr. Seibertz.
Yes, sir?
I've been working my jaw like an old woman. Must have used up a couple of years' words for me.
I was thinking I'll be able to put some of this night into my journal after all.
Night, Mr. Seibertz.
Night, sir. That's just a coyote.
Just a coyote.
You act like it meant something, Captain.
Not to me. But the White Dog and the Shoshone, the coyote is a trickster. You can count on it, Mr. Syberts. It'll mean something to the Shoshone.
We made council through the night, my son. My people will not follow White Soldier.
I heard the coyote, White Dog.
My people heard, and I heard. In the legend of the Shoshone, it was Coyote the trickster who changed the color of our skin. Shoshone's skin once was white, Captain.
You've told me.
In the story of creation, when the Creator first breathed life into tufts of grass, the people called Shoshone were born with skin white as snow.
Until one day, Coyote the trickster gave fruit to the white Shoshone woman. And since that day, the color of your skin has been brown.
And since that day, Captain, Shoshone has known fear of Coyote the trickster and men whose skin is white.
Yesterday, White Dog, we spoke words of peace, you and I. We spoke of believing each other.
Yesterday, Coyote was silent.
But the Ninambia, you said they told you of our coming. You doubt the prophecy of the Ninambia?
My son, you find me here. I seek their counsel. Yesterday, they told of white leaders' friendship. Yesterday, you came in peace. Last night, Coyote warned. Today, Ninambia are silent.
White Dog. White Dog, you're a long way from home. I have orders to see you safely to your Wind River hunting grounds.
I have orders, too. From my people.
We camped together last night. If we had come to harm you, we could have made quick work of...
Last night, Coyote warned. My people listen.
You'd better counsel again with your people, White Dog. In 1 hour, we're moving on to Fort Lyon. All of us.
My son. You will take us by force?
I don't want to.
Let us move our own way. Our belief is not your belief.
And yet, we both believe in peace.
You will keep peace if you go. Leave us alone. My people will look on that as a mark of trust. My son, believe me. A sign that we have your respect. This will bring much goodwill, much peace.
I'll do this much, White Dog. My patrol and I will report to Fort Lyon as ordered. I will powwow there with white chiefs. Tell them your wishes. If we do not return in 2 suns, you will know you are free to move in your own way.
Thank you, my son.
You'll need some sign that says you travel with the army's permission. I will leave you with 2 flags, a white flag and an American flag. When you march, see your braves hold them high. When you make camp, fly them in full view above your huts.
We will accept the flags. A totem of trust between men. You will not be sorry, my son.
I hope neither of us will have cause to be sorry, White Dog.
Seem worried, Captain. Is it White Dog or the Major's orders to return to Fort Laramie?
I'm thinking, Mr. Syberts. I always look worried when I think.
You know, sir, I thought the commander at Fort Lyon was very cooperative. He seemed to agree with everything you told him about White Dog.
I'm not worried about him or White Dog or Major Daggett, but it's a long way to Wind River from here.
White Dog and his people are a long way from home. You figure him to be about 2 days behind us, sir?
About that.
That'll be Harrison riding in, Captain. Must have come on to something.
Must have. Patrol! Halt!
Captain Quince, sir.
Yeah, what is it, Harrison?
Up ahead, sir, in the basin. Cavalry. Must be a full company of them.
They camped?
Well, more like they've just stopped for a while. No real camps, sir. No pickets out.
Wonder what company it is, sir.
Well, it's not from Fort Laramie or Fort Lyon. We'd know about them. Might be someone from Kansas or Nebraska. I'll ride on ahead with Harrison for a check. Move the patrol up after us.
Right, sir.
Let's go, Harrison.
Yes, sir.
He's still talking, Captain.
Talking, Harrison?
Like he was when I come on him. The tall one. And the rest listening. Must have a lot on his mind.
We'll leave our horses here. Walk on in.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear the voice of God Almighty telling you, as he tells me, this is the glory road? God knows it is, brothers. I call you brothers. You are my brothers.
Amen.
And we travel this road together. Amen. Not as a company of cavalry. Not as a commanding officer and trooper. But as brothers.
Amen.
Soldiers in the army of God Almighty.
Oh, God Almighty.
With just one supreme commander.
Amen.
So be it, brothers. So be it. And in the battles that are to come, we shall hear the voice together, you and I. We shall follow his orders to the death. And whosoever shall come between us and the voice shall perish.
Amen.
World without end.
Amen.
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 Amen, brothers.
Captain, is he a parson, that major?
Might be, Harrison. Or maybe it's just like you said. He's got a lot on his mind.
You, Captain, do you pray?
I might.
Then pray now, brother, for the salvation of your soul and for those of your brothers.
You in command here, Major?
God is in command here, brother.
I'm Captain Quince, B Company out of Fort Laramie. My respects, Major.
Major Petrie, A Company, Fort Pierre.
You're a long way from Dakota country, sir.
I hope you're not questioning my right to be here, Captain.
I'm not questioning anything, but I'm interested in your being here. I take it you're not going on to Fort Lyon.
We shall go where our mission takes us.
At Fort Lyon, they think my patrol is the only cavalry between there and Fort Laramie.
You guard your territory jealously, Captain. A base emotion, jealousy. As base as suspicion. I shall pray for your deliverance.
I don't want you praying for me, Major.
Ignorance is sin, brother.
Ignorant, jealous, that may be. But suspicious I am. Of any man who talks about God and wears half a dozen scalps hanging from his belt.
I make a practice of reporting men who have no respect for rank, Captain.
My commanding officer is Major Daggett at Fort Laramie. I'd appreciate your reporting this incident, Major Petrie, including the six scalps.
I'll welcome you in Dakota territory any time, Captain. I'd say you have a lot to learn.
I was thinking the same about you, Major. We're at peace with the Indians in this part of the West.
Are you?
There's a band of Shoshone a couple days behind us. They have the army's leave to move to their home along the Wind River.
Our paths may not cross at all.
If they do, you'll find them flying two flags, a white one and the American flag. We've told them the flags will guarantee their protection.
We look differently on the American flag in Dakota territory, Captain.
That so, Major? Out here, it means liberty and justice for everyone. Come on, Harrison.
What kind of man is that, Captain?
The kind of man that scalps Indian women, Harrison.
Well, here's all the answer we can get out of Fort Pierre, Captain. Colonel says Major Petrie's on a reconnaissance mission.
Scalping Indian women's called reconnaissance nowadays, Major?
You want to read the telegram for yourself, Lee?
I don't need to. I know what I saw.
I know how you feel, Lee. We've got troubles enough without the army fighting itself.
Major, if you'd have seen his men, wild-eyed, frenzied, he was whipping them with his words. What words they were.
Every officer has his way of stirring up his men.
Stirring them up for what? That's all I want to know. From the North Platte as far south as the Cimarron, the Indians are at peace.
I don't know what his aim was.
When you telegraphed Fort Pierre, did you ask the colonel if Major Petrie's a minister?
The answer's there, Captain. He's a self-ordained minister.
Six scalps, Major.
All right, all right. What do you want me to do? I had to call you back here. Captain Matheson's got two companies detained in the Black Hills. We've got a garrison to secure, Captain.
White Dog's 2 days late. If he was moving at all, he'd have been through here 2 days ago.
Maybe they're traveling a different route.
To get to Wind River?
I don't know, Lee. I don't know, except I can't spare a patrol right now.
You can spare me.
For what? What would you do?
Start back, look for White Dog.
Not alone, Lee.
All right, give me Harrison, then.
Suppose you find White Dog and his people. They're not likely to feel any different. You offered them the protection of a patrol before.
They're not going to fear two men.
Maybe they're not. You feel responsible for them, don't you?
I gave them the flags, Major.
And we don't know that they had need for any other protection.
They're 2 days late.
All right, Lee. You and Harrison.
Thank you, Major.
I'm not finished. When you find White Dog, I want you to make this clear to him. When he's off the reservation, he's entitled to army protection. And by heaven, next time he'll accept an army patrol, whether a coyote howls or not.
I'll tell him, sir.
I want to be just, Lee. I want to treat Indians fairly, civilly. But when their superstitions get in the way, I lose patience with them.
I feel the same way, Major.
I'm glad to hear that.
About an Indian superstition and a white man's fanaticism. Blind spots don't have a color, Major.
And I don't mind telling you, Captain. Gave me a turn at first. Seeing them come straggling up and make the camp right there on our creek.
They didn't bother you?
No bother at all. Excepting just that they was there, and they was Indians. It don't make a man feel real comfortable. My woman now, she just let out one long war whoop and made for the fruit cellar. Like never got her out of there.
She feeling better about it now?
Yeah, fine. Yeah, we got so we just sat by and watched them. They was cooking, cleaning their young in the creek. Never made a move toward us, nor us toward them. Well, now, I got to be honest about one thing.
What's that?
I said we just sat by and watched. That ain't the whole truth. My woman turned her head more than one time. Them braves don't wear much more than they're born with, do they?
Not much, mister.
Yeah. Well, sir, the sight to end them all for me was when they first come in. Now, right away, they run up them flags as high as they could. I tell you, Captain, that flag looks mighty good, no matter who's flying it.
You say they left here day before yesterday?
Well, let's see. Yes, sir, I'm sure of it.
Heading north?
North along the creek.
Well, thanks very much, mister. We must have passed their camp during the night, Harrison.
Don't seem like we could have, Captain.
Well, it doesn't.
You just the two of you after them this time?
This time, mister?
Yes. Now, yesterday, there was lots more troopers. And the major who talked to me, I think he said it was a major. Well, anyways, he asked the same kind of questions. Only
what?
Only when I told him about the Indians, he didn't smile the way you did, kind-like. This major, he didn't smile at all.
Let's go, Harrison. What kind of a lunatic are you?
You're still in need of prayer, brother.
You're rotten, foul, evil.
You came upon the Shoshone camp?
I never saw such a slaughter. Old men, old women, babies. Why? Why?
My report will say that we were attacked, Captain.
How many men did you lose, Major?
Oh, we were very lucky.
And all the attackers were killed. Do you like it, Major, killing women and children?
You'll get court-martialed for this.
An investigating party should be at Owl Creek by now. We'll see who gets the court-martial.
For killing Indians?
They'll find the flags waving high over 100 cut-up bodies. They'll find the rifles that were never fired. And there's no mistaking the fresh scalps around here.
You call yourself a white man? Indian lover? Well, I've no time for your kind. Women and children, yes. Nits make lice. An Indian that never grows up is a good Indian. Because he's a dead Indian. And a dead squaw can't bear any more papooses. Not a solitary one.
The killing's just begun. The Indians you haven't killed will massacre innocent whites because of you. Savages answering savages. But your killing's the worst kind. Killing in the name of God.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman McDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Kathleen Height, with sound patterns by Bill James and Tom Henley. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were John Daner, Lawrence Dobkin, Sam Edwards, Lou Krugman, and Tim Graham. Jack Moyles is Major Daggett, and Harry Bartell is Lieutenant Syberts.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. You there, don't let that newspaper blow into the street. It costs us millions of dollars each year to hire people who will go around picking up after you. That us includes you, for trash collecting and rubbish disposal come right out of your pockets and taxes. CBS Radio urges you to help keep our streets and countryside neat and clean and less expensive to maintain.
Gunsmoke, brought to you by Chesterfield. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. thanks to Accuray, they satisfy the most. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
I sure will be glad to get back to Dodge, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, Wichita's a nice town, Chester.
All right, you like it so much, next time you can come along. I got no business here anyway.
It's almost over. The train leaves in about 10 minutes.
I've been worried all morning we might miss it.
It's going to be a long ride. Why don't we wait outside here till they yell all aboard, huh?
My, you sure do hate setting down, don't you?
I like fresh air, Chester. Bet you can go on if you want.
No, I'll wait.
Well, you could be finding us a couple of seats.
Mr. Dillon, the Santa Fe guarantees a seat to everybody who buys a ticket.
I was only trying to give you an excuse to get off your feet.
Well, I ain't tired of all that. Hey, look what's coming.
Where? Hey, you're a pretty girl, isn't she?
Yeah, she is now, ain't she? You suppose she's going to Dodge, too?
Well, why don't you ask her?
Oh, my goodness, Mr. Dillon, I don't even know her. I couldn't do it.
It's not going to stop him.
Who?
That gentleman standing by the car. He's seen her, too.
Gentleman? Looks more like a drunk rowdy to me.
Yeah, let's kind of walk over that way, huh?
Say, maybe he does know her, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, I doubt it, though. He's too mean and ugly looking.
I'll tell you now, as long as we're going to be traveling together, we should all at least get acquainted, huh? My name's Laster. Ab Laster.
How do you do?
I do. I'm meeting my partner in Dodge, Joe Garrett. Have you known him?
I'm sorry, but I've never been in Dodge.
No, huh? Well, you know what makes two of us. Well, of course, at least we ain't going to be lonely, are we?
Well, that depends.
Depends on what?
If you're a gentleman.
Oh, honey, sure I am. Yeah, I know now. I got a bottle here. Why don't we get aboard and we'll have us a little drink?
Please, huh? Mr. Lassiter.
Come on.
No, look at that.
Well, no, what's the matter with you? Start out being real friendly, and then you freeze up. Come on, we're getting that train, like I say, and I'll buy you a little drink.
Let me go!
Hey, mister.
What do you want?
Let the lady go.
You're looking for trouble, ain't you?
No.
He tried to force me onto the train. He wanted me to drink with him.
Now, don't you worry, miss. He won't bother you.
He won't mind in it, not till you busted in.
Ab Laster, huh?
Hmm? How do you know my name?
Well, I heard you tell the lady.
Real snoopy, ain't you?
Sometimes.
You know what you're getting into, mister?
No. Why don't you tell me?
I'll show you. You're packing a gun.
But I don't always use it. This gun's safer with me. Here, Chester, put his gun in your belt.
Yes, sir.
Oh, he's gonna be awful mad, ain't he?
Oh, I'll kill him. I swear I'll kill him.
He's gonna fight some more.
No, he isn't. Get on the train, mister.
You tricked me.
Get aboard while you can still walk.
Mister, we get to Dodge, you're gonna wish you'd never seen me.
I'm wishing that already. Now move.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for all the trouble.
That's no trouble, miss.
I didn't mean to get you into a fight.
It wasn't your fault.
But I always feel that it is.
What?
Why, just my being a woman, I guess. You know.
Well, there won't be any more trouble, miss.
Not till we get to Dodge, anyway.
Come on, let's get aboard, huh?
If you're a real coffee drinker, you wouldn't pour water into your coffee. No, you want it for real. And it's the same when it comes to smoking. Why settle for a watered-down smoke? Why filter your fun? Smoke for real. And remember, nothing gives you so much real full tobacco flavor and real all-out pleasure as a Chesterfield. Like they say in the Chesterfield song,
and if you smoke for real, smoke Chesterfield. A real high-flying, satisfying Chesterfield. Because you get much more of what you're smoking for in Chesterfield. They're for real.
More real flavor.
More real pleasure.
Check for perfection by Accuray. They satisfy
the most. Try Chesterfield.
What do you think of Dodge, Rena?
I can't tell much from the depot, Marshal.
Oh, we'll show you the rest. Chester, go get our baggage, will you?
Well, I... Yes, sir.
Dodge kind of frightens me, Marshal.
Oh, why?
Well, I'm only a woman, and I've heard so much about the terrible things that go on here.
Now, don't you worry, Rena. Nothing will happen to you.
I do feel safer when you're around.
Marshal!
Excuse me a minute, Rena.
It's that same man.
Yeah, what do you want, Lester?
Now, tell me that you're Marshal Dillon.
Well?
And now there's two of us, Marshal. Here's my partner, Joe Garrett.
Lester says you made things bad for him in Wichita, Marshal.
Oh, is that so?
He says you stole his gun, too.
He can pick it up at my office sometime.
I just don't like what you did, Dillon.
Well, I didn't do it for you, Lester.
All right. Now, we're taking some horses up north for a few days. And then we'll be back.
I'll be here. I'll be here every day.
What did those men want, Marshal?
Nothing, Rena, nothing important.
I'll bet there's going to be more trouble over me, isn't there?
Now, don't you worry about it. We'll find your room, and then I'll take you over to the Long Branch and introduce you to Kitty Russell. She's half owner of the place. Oh, come on. Chester's waiting. Oh, how have you been, Doc?
Oh, fine, fine. Chester's been telling me about this little new girl, Rena Decker.
No?
Sounds like a mighty sweet little apple.
Is that what Chester said?
No, I didn't say that at all.
That's what you meant, Chester. But is it true, man?
Well, you can go see for yourself, Doc. I think she'll be working at the Long Branch tonight.
Oh, Kitty hired her. Ooh.
Well, I left them talking together about an hour ago.
Good, I'll drop by that night if I have time.
Oh, you'll find time, Doc.
Well, I will if some idiot doesn't fall off his horse and jump out of a window or something or go get himself shot.
Leave him die. It'll be worth it.
Yeah, leave him die. It's a good thing nobody has to depend on a sybarite like you, Chester.
I don't know what that means, but it sure don't sound nice.
Then don't ever let me catch you saying it. Oh, it's Kitty. Come on in, Kitty. Join the fun.
I'm afraid I'm going to spoil the fun, Doc.
Oh, what's trouble, Kitty?
I thought I'd better come tell you before you hear it from her, Matt.
What?
Rena Decker isn't going to be working at the Long Branch.
Oh? Well, why not?
I didn't hire her.
You didn't hire her forevermore.
Well, I'm not saying she isn't pretty and all that, Chester, but I've seen her kind too often. They mean nothing but trouble.
Well, I don't understand, Kitty. She seems like a nice little girl.
Now, you men are all alike. Pretty face throws you every time.
Now, Kitty, I have no interest in her beyond trying to help her the way I'd help anybody.
Who started that fight in Wichita, Matt?
Ab Lasser. He was annoying her.
She didn't lead him on, huh?
Oh, now, Kitty, you're being unfair. That girl's here all alone. She doesn't know anybody, and she needs a job.
Sure, and when I had to leave her at the bar a few minutes after you brought her in, she almost got another fight started.
Now, why would she do that?
Some women like men fighting over them.
I see. Kitty. What really is it that you don't like about her?
Doc hasn't seen her yet, huh?
Yeah, no, but I'm sure interested now, Kitty.
Yeah, you'll be just as stupid as they are.
Now, Kitty.
All right. Just to show you, I'll hire her. But don't blame me when somebody gets killed, because it's bound to happen.
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, what, Chester?
Looks like Miss Kitty was wrong, don't it?
That's been 2 days, but she didn't put any time limit on it.
What do you think it is she's got against Rena, anyway?
Oh, sometimes a woman takes a dislike to another woman, and nobody ever knows exactly why, Chester.
They're sure hard to track, ain't they?
Oh, they got their ways, I guess. But then so have we.
Yeah, that's right. We ain't always so plain and simple, are we? Where are you going?
Those men in front of the Long Branch.
They're going to fight, Mr. Dillon. Look at them. They're about to draw.
Hold it, you men!
They're both down.
Go get Doc, Chester.
They look dead to me.
Get him anyway. I'll see if I can find out what this is all about.
Yes, sir.
Anybody know these men? Well, I didn't see you here, Kitty.
Hello, Matt.
Maybe you knew these men, huh?
Just a couple of riders. I don't even know their names.
Well, what started it?
You wouldn't believe me if I told you.
Now, what do you mean?
Talk to her about it.
Who? Oh.
I'll go with you.
All right.
Oh, Marshal. Marshal, wasn't it terrible? I was so scared.
Rena, have you any idea what started this?
Oh, I don't know, Marshal. I was talking to them at the bar, and they suddenly got mad at each other, and they came out here. That's all I know.
What were you talking about, Rena?
Nothing. Just talking.
And why'd they get mad?
You know how men are.
Yeah, I know. I know how some of them are. I'll see you later, Matt.
Hey, yeah, sure, Kitty.
Marshal.
What, Rena?
Sometimes it's an awful burden being a woman. You understand, don't you?
I don't know, Rena. I'm not sure what I think.
want a steak without the flavor or a rose without the scent? No, you want it for real. And the same thing goes for smoking. You smoke for real, so why filter your fun? Why not go for all-out enjoyment with Chesterfield? Chesterfield, checked for perfection by Accuray, gives you more real full flavor, more real smoking pleasure.
And if you smoke for real, smoke Chesterfield. A real high-fly and satisfying Chesterfield. Because you get much more of what you're smoking for in Chesterfield. They're for real.
More real flavor.
More real pleasure.
Check for perfection by Accuray. They satisfy
the most. Try Chesterfield. They're for real.
Mr. Dillon, I sure would hate to be buried that way, like them two fellas. Nobody not knowing who you are, not even a marker on your grave. It's a sad, poor way to end up.
Yeah.
It's been troubling you, too, ain't it?
Some, yeah.
You've been awful quiet since yesterday.
I've been thinking, Chester. Oh, I'm going to the Long Branch here. You want to come?
Well, sure I do. They're pretty busy, ain't they?
Uh-huh.
Hello, Matt. Chester.
Hello, Miss Kitty.
You weren't at the burying, Kitty.
No.
Is Rena around?
Right over there at the bar with two men, as usual.
Oh?
Mr. Dillon, look at that blaster and that Garrett fellow.
Yeah.
I didn't know they was back in town.
It didn't take Rena long to find out.
What do you mean?
She brought him in with her when she came to work. But then, of course, she and Lasser are old friends by now.
Now, Kitty.
Why don't you go over to the bar there, Matt? Have a drink on the house.
Why?
Eavesdrop a few minutes. You might learn something.
All right, Kitty, I will.
Miss Kitty, could you see
all right, Rena, honey, it sure is good to see you again. Oh.
Are you really going to take me to dinner, Mr. Lester?
Oh, why, sure, honey, you bet I am.
What about me? Ain't I invited?
Huh?
Well, I guess that depends on Mr. Lester.
Yeah. Well, some other time, Garrett. This here's going to be my night tonight.
Well, Ab, you make it sound like Mr. Garrett's not wanted.
Well, he ain't.
You don't have to treat him like he's a dog.
Well, I ain't treating him like he's no dog. Am I, Garrett?
Well...
Of course you are. No man's going to put up with that, is he, Mr. Garrett?
Well, no.
No real man is.
No, by golly. Now, you take it back, Lester.
What?
Oh, go on, Garrett. Go on. Leave us alone.
Ab.
I ain't taking no more. Get your gun out, Lester. All right, Garrett. That's how you want it.
Wait a minute.
You killed him. You killed him, Ab.
Give me your gun, Lester.
No.
Give it to me.
How you expect to take a man's gun when he's already got it in his hand, Marshal? Don't be a fool.
He killed him, Marshal. Don't let him get away with it.
Shut up, Rena.
Don't back away now, Marshal. You stay where you are.
Rena's tricked you into two fights already, Lass. Are you going to let her do it again?
Stand still.
She likes men fighting over her. Don't you see that?
Leave her out of this. Now stand still.
You put up your gun, Lester.
No!
Oh. Marshal, I was so worried. I thought sure he killed you. Oh, I was so scared.
Rena, 4 men have died because I wouldn't believe Kitty about you.
What?
Now you get out of Dodge. Now. And don't ever come back. Well, Kitty.
It's not your fault, Matt.
Yes, it is, Kitty. And I hope you never let me forget it. Think what you'd miss if you filtered a kiss. No, you want it for real. And it's the same with smoking. Why filter your fun? Why not enjoy the all-out smoking pleasure of a real cigarette? A Chesterfield. Chesterfield gives you more real rich tobacco flavor. More real smoking satisfaction. Cigarette after cigarette after cigarette.
And if you smoke for real, smoke Chesterfield. A real high-flying, satisfying Chesterfield. Because you get much more of what you're smoking for in Chesterfield. They're for real.
More real flavor.
More real pleasure.
Check for perfection by Accuray. They satisfy
the most. Try Chesterfield. They're for real.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Lynn Allen, Lawrence Dobkin, and Harry Bartell. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Who'd want a steak without the flavor? Or a rose without the scent? No, you want it for real. And the same thing goes for smoking. You smoke for real. So why filter your fun? Why not go for all-out enjoyment?
And if you smoke for real, smoke Chesterfield. A real high-flying, satisfying Chesterfield. Because you get much more of what you're smoking for in Chesterfield. They're for real.
Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke.